This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. This week on the program, and in conjunction with International Women's Day, we have an athlete who's the only Malaysian, doesn't matter male or female, who's made a record-breaking 5 Olympic appearances in her career. Datuk Leong Man Yee, who just retired after Tokyo 2020, is a decorated national hero, and along with her Olympic appearances, the 37-year-old has plenty of accolades under her belt, including silver at the 2010 Commonwealth Games in India, bronze at the 2014 Asian Games in South Korea, and 2 golds at the 2017 KLC Games. She also etched her name in Malaysian sporting folklore by being the first to win a bronze medal with her long-standing partner Pandalela Rinong at the 2009 World Championships in Rome. She's now part of the coaching setup of the national team, and she joins us on the program this week as we start off by talking about her latest achievement, being newly minted with the title of Datuk.
At first, I wasn't used to it, but after a few days, I'm used to it already, actually.
Yeah, so what happened there, Dato, is, you know, you joined the likes of, you know, Lee Chong Wei, Nicole David, Azizul Hasni Awang, all, you know, have Datukships as well. I guess my first question is, you know, how does it feel like to be now, you know, cemented as a Malaysian sporting legend?
I feel honoured, very honoured to have this title. And then, yeah, it's a great motivation for other athletes to work harder to achieve their dreams.
Mm, for sure. How does retirement feel? I mean, you were like 25 years, right? Almost 25 years.
27 years, actually.
27 years representing the country. I mean, it must be quite a shift for you, you know? Do you miss being in the zone? Are you just right now enjoying the freedom that comes with retirement?
Actually, things haven't been changed much because I'm also still attending training, but not as an athlete, like as a coach right now.
That's right.
So I still attend training in the morning and afternoon. The only difference is I don't feel so tired. I don't feel so stressed like previously. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I don't feel so stressed anymore.
Yeah, you make people tired now, right? You shout at them. Yeah. So let's talk about that. You're part of the coaching setup now for Malaysian swimming, the national team. How long has it been and how has it been so far?
Actually, from last year, after the Olympics, I was planning to retire after the Olympics. So after the Olympics, I am already helping out with the team already, helping up just to like watching their dives, correcting their dives, because Liray is the only coach right now. So he cannot like, there's too many divers for him to like watch out. So I'm just helping out. So after I announced my retirement, I straight away continue.
Okay. So it's a natural progression in that way for you to go into coaching.
Yeah, correct.
That's interesting. Let's talk a little bit about your background now. And, you started off as a swimmer, Man Yee, Datuk Man Yee, at the tender age of 10. And then you changed your focus to diving, right? Tell us a little bit because, you know, at the start of the journey as a competitive diver, I imagine it was quite a challenge, lah. I mean, at such a young age, especially at 10, if the nation's eyes on you, you also got introduced to water sports at the age of 2. You'll follow your brother, right, back in the day, who swam for the Perak state team. Bring us back to the early beginnings. You know, what did you like about being in the water ultimately?
I think I started swimming like very early, like just a few years of age, because my parents, they really like sports. And my dad, yeah, used to swim, he used to play badminton, he's very active in sports. So my brother was also in the Perak swim team. Yeah, so I naturally was just involved in swimming. And when one day, when there was a diving coach came to the Perak pool for selection, because at that time they want to select some divers for the 1998 Commonwealth Games program. So my mom just brought me to the tryouts and I was selected. So I switched from swimming to diving.
Mm. Did you expect to be selected back then?
Actually, during that time, I didn't think so much. I just joined diving for the fun of it.
For the fun, yeah, exactly.
Just for the fun of it. Because diving is kind of like a new sport back then.
Mm.
So I just joined for the fun of it.
Mm. So for the fun of it, and then finally getting chosen, you know, to represent the country at the Commonwealth Games, being the only Perak diver, right, at the time as well. Do you remember that first competitive dive? How was it like?
Yeah, at that time, I was very nervous because all my dives was new dives in the 10 meter. It's all like scary dives for me. Yeah, at that time, yeah, I was very, very nervous. Mm. That was my first major international competition back then.
Yeah. How did you place?
I didn't do too well. Yeah, I remember I didn't do too well.
But that was the start of your story.
Yeah, was the start of my diving career.
Mm, and you caught the bug. You caught the diving bug straight away there, right? And talking a little bit about that, you know, because you were a swimmer back then as well. You know, do you feel that swimming and diving use the same elements? You know, does it give you the same feeling?
No, actually, diving and swimming is totally different. Yeah, the way they train, we train also is different.
Mm.
Yeah, correct. Diving focus more on the flexibility, the strength, and all the turning. Yeah, it's different from swimming.
Mm. Would you say though that both diving and swimming use, I guess, the same set of basic skills in a way, or no, not at all?
Not at all. Actually, diving is more similar to gymnastics.
Mm.
Yeah, correct.
Got you. Manny, as a young diver, who were your inspirations at that time? Sporting inspirations?
When I was younger, I used to like Fu Mingxia, a Chinese diver, yeah, because she is very, very good. Yeah, very good in platform and also springboard. And she was the youngest athlete to have a gold medal in the Olympics.
Wow. Did you get a chance to meet her at any time?
Yeah, I met her during Sydney Olympics in 2000.
2000, that's right. Were you starstruck?
Yep. Yeah.
And you know, you did all this at the time where you were studying as well. You know, you mentioned, you went for your first Olympics, the 2000 Olympics, right, in Sydney. But also at that time, you were juggling a normal student life while doing competitive sport, which I'm sure is a huge challenge. How did you manage to balance both of those, you know, having good grades in your studies, but also performing in and out for the national diving team? I'm sure it was hard.
Yeah, it was hard. But I think the most important thing is to like work hard and also set a target for our own self. And then the only time is the time. I spend less time with my family because I have to move from Ipoh to KL. I don't get to meet my parents very often. And also time management is very important because we have to go for training and also go for classes. So it is very important to manage our time.
Mm. Did you feel that you missed a big part of your teenage years by not being with your family, by not being in Ipoh, instead, you know, training for the good of Malaysian diving?
Yeah, actually, most of the time I spent was with my teammates. I spent more time with my teammates than my family, actually.
Mm.
Yeah, after 10.
Yeah, well, good news now, you have time to do all that, right? Take back the lost years, that's for sure. So you're studying, you have a degree in communications and you're currently doing your bachelor's, your master's, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel that, you know, what you've learned at UPM, the skills that you've gotten from, you know, the communications background, did it in a way help or inform your sporting career in any way?
Because next I will be starting my diving academy. So I think this will surely helps. Yeah, because I'm now doing a master's in corporate communication.
Yep.
So I have to learn how to do like all the PR, the marketing. So it will definitely help in my academy later on.
That's for sure. You know, it's good to have all these skills and anyway, right?
Yeah.
Talking a bit about your achievements, Datuk, you are the only Malaysian to compete in 5 Olympic Games. That's crazy. Is that something you ever thought, you know, as a 10-year-old when you got picked for the Commonwealth Games? Is that something you ever thought you could achieve?
No, actually, at the age of 10, I didn't think of anything at all. I just joined for the fun of it. I didn't thought that I would go this far and also involved in diving for so long. Mm. Yeah.
And be a Malaysian legend at the end of the day. If you had to pick among those 5 Olympics, which one would you say is your favorite?
Actually, each of the Olympics is also very memorable for me. But if I would have to pick, I'll say Sydney Olympics, because Sydney is my first Olympics. Yeah, so I'm like, wow, everything is like very, very like new for me.
Yeah, and Dato, you were at the tender age of 15 when you competed in the Sydney Olympics. How was that experience like? Like you say, you know, it was fresh, everything was new, but also it could be quite, I can imagine it'd be quite overwhelming, right, to a certain extent.
I competed in Sydney in the platform event. Mm-hmm. And also I did a higher degree of difficulty than in the Commonwealth Games. So they were also new dives for me back then.
Mm. That was only the start, you know, 2000 Sydney, but I'm sure the road to becoming an Olympic diver was not an easy one. And, you know, we have to talk about your last appearance at the Tokyo Olympics last year, where you and your partner, your longstanding partner, Pandalela, came in 8th. How do you feel after those games, especially, you know, knowing that it's going to be your last Olympics?
I feel a bit sad lah, because Tokyo was my last Olympics. Mm. But also, we have no regrets lah, because we tried very hard. The pandemic really affected our training program, because usually we will go for overseas, we will train in China for training camps.
That's right.
But during this time, everything is different. Everything is different, and we don't have a lot of international competitions before the Olympics. So we have already tried our best. Yeah, and we have no regrets.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just you, Datuk, that's disappointed. I think a lot of Malaysians as well felt your pain at that time, especially. But talking a bit about that, you know, how different this Olympics was. You've been to 5 of them, and 4 of them was pre-pandemic, right? Tell us a bit about how the Tokyo Olympics was so different than the others.
This time, the Tokyo Olympics was really very different. It was more simple than the previous Olympics. And then we didn't get to go out at all. We only can be in the village. Mm. And also the pool. And we need to report every day and do the saliva test every day. Mm. So everything was very strict, and we need to leave after our event. So it was very quick and also very simple this time. But we're also very grateful that Olympics still goes on.
Yeah.
Still managed to compete in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a bit of a bubble environment lah for the athletes, no contact with Tokyo locals, right? But also what that meant is no fans.
Yeah, no spectators at all this time. I would prefer to have people watching, actually. Yeah. The atmosphere is like very different.
Mm, and the added pressure as well, right? Sometimes you work best under pressure.
Yeah, that kind of situation feels more like Olympics.
Well, I want to talk a bit about your, like I said, your long-standing partnership with Pandalela. You guys have great chemistry and develop more of a friendship, right, than just being teammates. Datuk, do you feel that it's necessary to be friends with your partner or teammates outside the pool?
I think it's necessary and also important to have a good relationship with your partner. Yeah, because our event, Synchronize, needs to be like a lot of communication on how we are going to perfect the dive, how our rhythm is going to be. So good relationship is definitely necessary.
That's great. So you guys are friends. You guys hang out even after training and stuff like that.
Yes, correct.
That's nice. And you know, taking you back in time, 14 years ago, both of you won bronze at the 2009 World Meet in Rome, being the first Malaysians to do so. Dato, you were 25 at that time, and Pandalela was a young 16-year-old diver. Has anything in that partnership changed over the decade? You know, tell us about what the stuff that you guys improved together as a team.
Actually, Rome was our first partnership. And actually, before that, we only trained for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 3 months for this partnership. And then it was a surprise to us, actually, that we managed to get bronze. We never thought that we could, like, get bronze. Mm. We were, like, the dark horse back then, and no one expected us to, like, get the medal as well. And from then to now, actually, nothing much have changed. Only, like, yeah, to perfect our rhythm, because the standard back then and now is like different, really. Yeah, sure. Now the standard is like higher, everyone is better, so we need to improve ourselves.
That was Dato' Leong Man Yi speaking to us as part of our station-wide celebration on International Women's Day. More of that conversation to come, so do stick around only here on Bar None on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong and you're tuned in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. This week on the program, and in conjunction with International Women's Day, we have been in conversation with Dato' Leong Man Yi, a former national diver and also the only Malaysian to have made it to 5 Olympics. She's a Malaysian sporting legend who plans to open up her own academy soon. And picking up where we left off, we asked her about the pressures during each tournament and whether it got easier over her 27-year career.
Actually, I still feel a bit nervous during each competition because we need to be very focused for each dive, because we cannot afford to make mistakes, because if we like have a slight mistake, it will be very painful to like hit the water from 10 meters.
Yeah,
so we have to be very focused for each dive.
Do you have a routine or such? You know, how do you mentally prepare, you know, for the dive? You know, while doing research, and I've talked to a bunch of divers before, one thing they always told me is visualization, right? That's a very important element in diving, isn't it?
Yes, correct. Usually we will have the visualization. Yeah, we visualize out a perfect dive. And there's also like a rhythm for each somersault. It's like 1, 2, 3, the rhythm. Yeah, we visualize the perfect rhythm. Before our competition.
How about, you know, things that calm you down, you know? Do you like listen to music before a dive? Maybe some NCT or something like that? I know you're a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to listen to music and also watch like funny movies. And also during competition, if I'm like really nervous before competition, I will like talk to my partner. Like, don't stay still. Just like,
be
talk
active.
To our partner. Yeah, be active, talk to our partner.
That's great. Dato, in your opinion, you know, you're the best person to answer this. What characteristics makes a good diver? Is it all about mid-air twists and turns? I'm sure there's more to it, right?
Actually, a lot of elements, yeah. To perform a perfect dive, the takeoff must be good, and then the twist and turn, the position, and also the entry must be good. So to be a good diver needs a lot of practice. Yeah.
Out of those elements that you just described, when you were training to become a national diver, which one would you say is the hardest to perfect?
The hardest to perfect? Everything is hard, actually. Nothing is easy. Yeah.
And I go back to that mental aspect of diving, you know, because like you mentioned, you prefer fans, but when you're standing up on the platform, you know, it is a performance sport after all, you know, all eyes are on you. Do you feel the added pressure then when you're just about to take off?
Pressure surely have, but usually if I'm on the platform, I'll be very focused really. If like someone is like talking to me, I will be like, maybe I won't get to hear it.
Right.
Yeah, I'll be like very, very focused on my dive.
So the jitters is just before you get onto the platform. Once you're up there, it's game on.
Yeah, because actually after the referee blow the whistle, we only have 1 minute to do the dive.
I see. If you could have excelled in any other sport, what do you think you would have been? Swimming, maybe?
Yeah, maybe swimming. Because swimming and diving is the only sport I've been involved in.
Right. How about, another sport in the water? Do you think you could have a hand in water polo, for example?
No. Not really.
What's the hardest sacrifice you feel you had to make as a sports person? And looking back on your illustrious career, would you have done anything differently?
No. If I have to choose once again, I would still be like choosing diving. And the thing that I think is the time with my family.
They scold you for, hey, come back more, see us more often. Did they understand what you were trying to achieve at that time?
My parents was very, very supportive. Yeah, they were very supportive and they just told me, if you like diving, just go for it. Just go for it. Actually, for these 27 years in diving, the only medal I don't have is a medal in the Olympics. But it's all right. Yeah, but it's all right because I've already tried my best. So yeah, I have no regrets on it.
It's all that matters, right? You've put your heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many Malaysian divers, including yourself, you mentioned this very briefly just now, but they pursue their training by joining elite diving programs in other countries, namely China, right? Tell our listeners a little bit, how you compare the experience of training at MSN, at Bukit Jalil, and in China?
In China, the facilities is slightly better than in Bukit Jalil. I think Bukit Jalil is not bad really. There's a lot of upgrades. But China, the facility, I think should be the best in the world. They really invest a lot and they have a lot of divers over there, a lot of good divers over there. So usually people from other country, divers from other country will have training camps before a major competition in China.
Yeah, not just the infrastructure, right, Datuk, but, the culture of sport in not just diving, the culture of sport in China is such a monstrous one, right? They start their kids at the age of 4 or 5 with a goal of them becoming an athlete.
Yes, correct. They start very early and then the parents just send their kids there, and then they're not allowed to visit their kids because the training is so tough.
But Manny, you mentioned that you have a plan of opening an academy, and eventually you like to expand that academy to your hometown of Ipoh, right? And obviously in Malaysia now, like you've mentioned, the best place to train is still the National Aquatic Centre in Bukit Jalil. Has the best facilities. How would you say the infrastructure is like in Ipoh?
Actually, Ipoh is also quite good. Yeah, quite good. They've already upgraded the pool and also the dry land training. But Bukit Jalil, they have the video replay system, which only in Bukit Jalil they have it. Currently, other states, they don't have it yet.
And that's really important, right? To observe your form. And
yeah, it's important for high performance.
Well, you could always install one at Ipoh in your academy for sure. But something you have done, the academy is part of the plan, but something you have done is mentioned to the F&B, right? Have you always been interested in entrepreneurship into F&B?
Actually, I started cafe because I like to drink coffee. I have to drink coffee every day. So I thought, why not? Yeah, just start my own cafe for a start.
Yeah, tell us about it. It's called Heroes Cafe, right?
Yeah, correct. I started with a few partners. Mm-hmm. They used to be former athletes as well.
I see.
So we came up with the name Heroes Cafe. Previously, it was located in front of Axiata Arena. But after that, it was relocated to Tiara Mutiara 2 Jalan Puchong.
Jalan Puchong.
So the place is bigger there.
Nice.
Previously, it was a container cafe. But now it's like a real cafe.
That's interesting. How hands-on are you with this? Are you the boss there? Do you go in every week, scold your workers and stuff like that?
No. Usually, I don't. I'm not involved in the operations. one of our business partner is involved in the operations.
Cool, gotcha. So it's called Heroes Cafe, right? So if people want to go visit, they can, but they won't be able to see you, obviously.
Sometimes I'll be there as well. Yeah, sometimes.
Great. Another thing I know that you have a huge interest in is breakdancing, right? It's pretty much your hobby. Now, would you say that you have time? Would you pursue it more seriously?
Breakdance will be in Paris Olympics, actually.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's actually hard. I tried learning during MCO. Mm. I learned some shuffling moves, but break dancing is another level. It's hard. You need to do skills. It's not easy.
Spin on your head type thing.
Yeah, correct.
To close off, Datuk, I want to ask you a little bit about, you're currently, coaching the young divers and, people that divers that are in the national setup. What are your thoughts on, the next generation of divers? Do you feel that they're in good hands, or do you feel that they need, better resources and support, for their careers?
After my batch, there will be Pandalela and also Dabita. Yeah. And also some younger divers like Kimberly, Rania. But after that, there is no more. Yeah. So we need to have more divers involved. Mm. Try to have more divers involved in.
Yeah. So now, as part of the coaching setup, how do you plan to groom the next generation? I guess, do you guys have plans to, scout in schools and stuff like that?
Yeah. For my diving academy, I plan to start younger, from 5 to 12,
yes,
to prepare the divers for the national Pelapis team. Yeah, I try to get more people to be involved in diving.
That's great. How's the progress for the academy going? When can we expect to see it in full flesh?
Hopefully by this year.
Last question, Datuk. If anyone listening to this now, you're an inspiration for a whole bunch of Malaysians, not just diving fans, I would say. You have a huge fan base from people from all walks of life in the country. What are your advice, for people who wants to get into diving and aspiring divers?
I feel, firstly, have to be very committed. And also, if you want to learn anything, not just diving, just go for it and be very serious, be committed, and also have to work very hard for it.
That was Datuk Leong Man Yi on her story as part of our station-wide celebration on International Women's Day. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Bar None. If you'd like to revisit that interview with Datuk Leong Man Yi, you can head over to our website real soon, www.bfm.my/Bar None, or you can get in touch with us by tweeting us at BFM Radio. My name's Daryl Ong, and this has been Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.